We return to the Warren County Radio Bible School today, and we're going to start with a Bible question. We're talking about the Passover and how the destruction, that destroyer that traditionally has been called the angel of death. That's not what it is called in the scriptures. It is called the destroyer. Goes through the land of Egypt and slays the firstborn of every household. That was the 10th plague. But the children of Israel were told to kill a lamb and to remain in their house until the destroyer passed. Now they were to mark their houses so that the destroyer, when the destroyer would come and the house was marked, those that remained in that house would be spared. How was it that they were to mark their houses? The answer to that is found in Exodus chapter 12, and we'll look at that answer in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now the question is, how did the children of Israel mark their houses the night the destroyer came to slay the firstborn of every house? And the answer we find in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. For Jehovah will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And so they were to mark the doors of their house with blood, slaying a lamb, applying the blood with hyssop, both over the beam that is over the door, called there the lintel, and then the two sideboards along the house, and remain in the house. And we read in Elam's notes, now these are notes that he prepared for the Sunday schools, of July the 25th, 1926, we read that God saved them. The blood saved them. And in their obedience to God, they saved themselves, remaining in the blood-stained house as God directed. The blood saved them. They kept the Passover by faith because they believed God. They did as He commanded by faith. Where God speaks, faith can do nothing except that which He commands. It is the lack of faith which does something else. We are saved by the blood of Jesus when we obey the covenant God has sealed to us by that blood. He who rejects this blood-sealed covenant, or will, rejects the blood of Christ. The spiritual house which has the blood of Jesus on it is the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. None can reach the blood of Jesus in disobedience to Him. The faith and hope of Israel rested upon God's word, His promise. They knew they would be saved from the death angel and from Egypt because God said it, and they felt like they would because they believed God. God's word was their assurance. Today, our faith in Jesus and hope of salvation rest upon God's promises. Having shed His blood for the remission of sins, Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned, Mark 16:16. to those who believe in Jesus. Feel their guilt and ask what to do to be saved, he says. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27. Thus, in obedience to God, we comply with the conditions of salvation in this blood-sealed covenant. We thus reach the blood of Christ, enter into His blood-stained and blood-bought church, and are saved. Now, these plagues, and even this plague against the firstborn in the land of Egypt, was all an attack upon the idolatry of Egypt. We read in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, "For Jehovah will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." This is the reason why the above instruction was given to Israel. This was said first in warning to Pharaoh. The firstborn of beasts as well of men were slain. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments, for I am Jehovah, we read in verse 12. The firstborn of beasts was slain, it seems, because the Egyptian worshipped beast. God promised that the destroying angel should not slay the firstborn in the houses whose lintels and posts had the blood on them. There are lessons about this Passover. Let me read verses 24 through 27 of Exodus chapter 12. It says, "You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which Jehovah will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this servants, by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." And the people bowed the head and worshipped. This was a perpetual memorial. The Passover was to be observed in the Promised Land, and the Israelites were to explain to their children its meaning. In the Promised Land it was eaten, in the place where God wrote His name. There all the males were required to assemble. Women were permitted to attend. The first day of the feast, or the 15th day of the month already given, was a holy convocation, and the 7th day of the feast was a holy convocation. And additional sacrifices were offered throughout the 7 days of the feast. The feast continued 7 days. Then the first fruits of the harvest were offered. The lamb was sacrificed at the going down of the sun, as stated. The fat and blood were turned over to the priest, and the fat was burned, and the blood sprinkled on the altar. If there were any unclean, who could not eat the Passover at the appointed time, they could do so on the second month. But whosoever refused to eat should be cut off from the people. Strangers, that is, others besides the Jews, could eat of the Passover if their males would be circumcised. There was one law to the homeborn and to the stranger. This and other passages show that Gentiles could at that time be saved if they so desired. This lamb was a type of Jesus. The lamb was without blemish. Jesus offered himself without blemish unto God, Hebrews 9:14, and as a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, and he was innocent, undefiled, spotless and separate from sinners. Not a bone of this lamb was broken, and not a bone of Jesus was broken. The blood of this lamb saved Israel from the destroying angel. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, whose blood was shed for the remission of sins. Jesus is called our Passover in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, and was slain at the time of the killing of the Passover. This is called the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover, from the fact that the angel passed over the blood-stained houses. It was called the Passover. Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered them out of their houses. In reverence and awe, the people bowed the head and worshipped. When Moses had finished instructing them, which meant they would solemnly do as they had been directed. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 28 we read, and the children of Israel went and did so. And Jehovah had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. This states that the Israelites did as God commanded. God did what he threatened to do to Pharaoh and promised to do for the children of Israel. At midnight, the destroying angel passed through and slew the firstborn of man and beast. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. Who can conceive the sorrow, deep grief, and sore lamentation this caused? No people in the universe were more remarkable for their mournings than the Egyptians, especially in matters of religion. They wept, beat, and tore themselves, and howled in all the excess of grief. When a relative died, the people left the house and ran into the streets and howled in the most lamentable and frantic manner. God said this should cause such a great cry throughout Egypt as had never before been heard, nor would ever be heard afterward. In verse 30, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and urged them to get the Israelites from among the Egyptians. He was now willing for the Israelites to depart and to take with them all their possessions. In Exodus 10, verses 28 through 29, Pharaoh ordered Moses out of his presence to see his face no more, saying, on the day Moses saw his face again, Moses would be put to death. The message of 31 was probably delivered by Pharaoh's servants. The Egyptians urged the Israelites to leave the land in haste. So the Israelites left. According to Moses' directions, they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. They did not ask these things with the idea of returning them. God gave the Israelites favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians let the Israelites have what they wanted. And so, the text says, they spoiled the Egyptians. From the call of Abraham, the deliverance of the children of Israel was 430 years. It is a night to be much observed unto Jehovah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Now there's a rhyme at the end of the Sunday school lesson that reads like this. Why should we make a brother's cross harder for him to bear? Each has his toil, load of toil or pain, his burden and his care. But if we knew the inner life hid deep within each breast, we would not speak the bitter words when kindly words were best. And then there's this, by one noted as J.G. Holland. I count this thing to be grandly true, that a noble deed is a step toward God, lifting the soul from the common sod to purer air and a broader view. In our next lesson, we're going to be looking at the deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea, consulting Elam's notes for August 1st, 1926.